good to see our numbers increasing for various reasons. Some are sick or well, some of them are traveling or back. We've got new additions and some visitors. So it's encouraging. You're all very much appreciated in your presence. It's edifying for the group, and we hope we can edify you in the presentations that we're about to do. A few announcements before we get into the lesson. By the way, while I'm going through this, if you didn't get the two handouts on the back, you hang up, hold up your hand, and we'll get one of the deacons to bring them to you. Okay. Various reasons for those. I was away last week holding a meeting in Apple Valley, and I appreciate those that were willing and able to fill in for me here. It's always good to see there are members of the church that can step in and help out in all sorts of ways. I also realized something while I was there. I may be losing my voice again. So I'll warn you the way I warn them. Okay, if you cannot hear me, now, I've said this before, but this time take me seriously. Okay. In fact, I had to start screaming with them. I lost my voice for 2 days. Seriously, if you cannot hear me, raise your hand or say something or throw something or get up and walk right up here and you tell me that you cannot hear me. Okay? And we will do something. We've got phones in the back for you. We've got the congregation leaves the front rows vacant so you can come down and sit here if you want to. I will swallow the microphone if I have to. Okay? But do not come up to me afterwards and say, I couldn't hear you. Okay? I found out that upsets me. And I figure it's because I just spent a lot of hours this week and another hour up here for nothing. Think about that. So it's better we do it beforehand rather than after it. Okay? Thank you. Got that out of the way. Another announcement is tonight, if you look at the bullet and the first thing, the evangelism project, we're going to start it up again. We're trying to fit in the windows of opportunity in the spring and the fall. We did this for 3 months, 2.5, this last spring. So now we're going to, perhaps 2 months we have in this fall. In fact, this segues into what the presentations are about. So tonight, after services, I want to meet with those that want to be involved in it. It's going to be a short meeting just to find out who's in and what you need. How much material? I'll take it. Throw lots. Okay. So if you've, we want to see that. And in fact, that's some of the things we're going to get into for the next couple of weeks. We're going through the handouts in the evangelism project. One of the things I told the people that were involved last time, cardinal rule, don't ever hand out anything you haven't read. Guess how many read them? Okay, so now we're going through them, okay? So make sure that you know what's there, and they make good lessons. In fact, I used 3 of them for the gospel meeting in Apple Valley. So I know the stuff's good. I got a lot of compliments from those that could hear me. I think you'll appreciate it for that, and I'll try to add some more things to if they need a little bit livening up. But we're just going to go through those so you'll be familiar with them. Also, what I'm going to add this morning is a few other things to bring to your mind. Since we have some new people, and way of reminder of what you have at your disposal by ways of helps in your growth as a Christian and in your fellowship and some other things. I'd like to get into that. First of all is the websites. This is the church website. Just get you familiar. Some of you haven't even seen this yet. Okay? So we've got a church website, and we're trying to put it together so it's helpful. The homepage is a little bit more intensive than this for space, and there's not that much information I want to cover here. Then we have the services listed, we have when and where, we have also the doctrines, and this will be some help to you. There's pamphlets and brochures for the evangelism, so a lot of the things we're going through are already on the website, and you can download them, and we'll be adding more. In case you're wondering what the preacher does while somebody else takes over the Sunday morning class and the Wednesday night class, I'm preparing brochures, you know, putting classes together, whatever. I am busy, and I try to work for my paycheck. Okay. So we've got plenty of those. There's also a Bible correspondence course. We have several Bible correspondence courses. This is the one that's online. If we have others here, just ask about them, and we can get those to you if you want to be involved in that. There's a conversion checklist. If you want to sit down with someone and just go, this is what God finds necessary or said is necessary for salvation and coming to Him. So we got that. And then we got a more intensive course here, Foundations of Christian Living. We'll get back to that a little bit. It's about 49 lessons that cover just about everything comprehensive in personal worship and church worship. And that's there to be downloaded. If you haven't got access to the internet or your computer or whatever, we can also give these to you on CDs. This is the way they started. And we can also just run them off for you and hand them to you and sit down or sit down with you and go through them any way you want it. Okay, we're here to help. Okay, that's uppermost in our minds here, to furnish you with everything you need in order to please God, serve Him to the best of your ability. Under sermons, 56 sermons they've got listed on this website. They're recorded. I made the mistake of listening to one of them, my own voice. Every time I do, I swear I'll never talk to anybody again. But they've got those there, the author, there's others than myself. There's a date when they're done. And there's a PDF handout for them. I don't know where those came from. I didn't do them. But you have handouts for a lot of those sermons that are up there. And then, what's the other thing? Going back to sources, now there's other things. There's Church of Christ history. In general, there's our history of the church here, and there's links that you can go to. But right now I'm going to zero in on this sources. It just says Hedrazo. And if you click on that, what you do is you get my website. Now, this has evolved over time. First of all, when I was putting my sermons together and got them on computer, I started collecting them just for my own use. Then I made the mistake of putting them on CDs, and people started taking the CDs and sending them to other churches, taking them overseas, whatever. And then someone said, well, the CDs we can't get into some countries, so if you come up with a website, you know, then we can go there and just download them. And then, well, that works for me too. So the times I've been to Russia and India, whatever, I've got a source. So if I need to do some quick research, I got it there. Also, as you look at this front page, it's, you know, my little Hedrazo has been incorporated to a 501c3. So anything you do to help it out, it's tax deductible. Okay, and the church is also 501c3. The next section is sermons. There's three, actually, buttons you can hit. Sermons A to E, sermons F to P, sermons Q to Z. There's over 550 sermons there. So if you want access to all sorts of subjects, if you want to go someplace and preach for yourself, it's also for small congregations that get started and the man having, you know, they're working, they don't have the time to put together an extensive sermon. It's there for them. Okay, this thing's been put together to help anybody, anytime, anywhere. In the courses and commentaries, there's now 49 courses and commentaries. Some of the commentaries are courses, but they range in all sorts of subjects, so we'll get into some of those as we go through these. And those are all sorts of courses to take people beyond just after their conversion. I mean, they have a lot of varieties of all sorts of things that they cover. And you know, they're good for your own personal. You know, if you just want to download it or get a copy of something that interests you, we can get that to you just for your personal study, getting the family together and going through it, or getting together with the neighbors or something. You've got the resources. Or if you just want to look, you know, there's Old and New Testament commentaries. Not all of them. We're working on it. Takes a little time. but you can go through those to help you in your own personal studies. There's also, again, the pamphlets and brochures, just to run those things off, like the pamphlets you got in your hand. Again, some of them are a little bit thicker. After you read this one this morning, we go through it, you keep it, do it again and again, or you can give it to your neighbors, your friends, co-workers. That's what we suggest you do with them. What's this? Donations. This is something I had to put on there because of the IRS. Don't get too weirded out about it. But I decided to put here funding for the Nizhny Novgorod preachers. They're hurting. They've lost a lot of money over in Russia. So if you want to help out with that, anything, and I'll just send it on to them. That's, again, tax free. You can write it off. They're also trying to put a building together in Bangalore, India, where I was. If you want to help out with that, we can do that. Materials for evangelism. There's some people here, especially at the Crawfords, that have helped these pamphlets. Some of the money has come out of my own pocket, other people's pockets, the time, the labor. You can write it all off as something that's donated to the Hadrazo Ministries and Publications. Okay? Also, we have a new facility we're trying to build over in the desert. Yeah, so if you want to throw something into that, that's fine, or emergency relief funds. I said, periodically we try to put things together for people at churches that have been hit by hurricanes or tsunamis or whatever, so we can run it all through this or through the church, either one, and they're all tax deductible. And then the links, the Indian Wells Valley Church of Christ goes back to the front first link. Okay, they cross-reference each other. There's a directory of the Conservative Churches of Christ in the United States. There's also a directory of Churches of Christ worldwide, not all conservative. Doctrinal information site. There's other sites you can go to. And I've added also the Alliance Defense Fund. If as a Christian you find yourself being sued, either at school or church or whatever, or business, the Alliance Defense Fund works out of Scottsdale. It is lawyers that work, in many cases, pro bono, that will defend your Christian rights and your freedom of religion. And so far, they got a perfect track record against the ACLU. And, just little things to help you out in many ways. Now, let's get on track. Okay, your first handout, the invitation to attend the Church of Christ. Okay, so we're just going to, I couldn't put the whole thing on here, so we're just going, we're in the inside section by section, and try to color code the sections. So this is what people are seeing. When you put this on their door, just hand it to them. This is just an invitation, trying to tell people what we offer, and now we're kind of telling you what we offer also. Okay? The worship services of the Church of Christ are patterned along the guidelines of the New Testament. This is what we're trying to do. We're part of a restoration movement that's going back just to the Scriptures. Yeah. We do only what God commands or what is necessarily inferred from these commands, and it's a struggle sometimes, yeah. The pattern was acceptable to God. Look at it. The pattern was acceptable to God in the first century. I mean, if you look, there's in another pattern. If you look where all the other, a lot of other churches are started, I mean, they give you the dates when they're started. You know, people could be saved before most churches were started because there was a church in the first century. Really? How's that, Ken? It's not really on, it's dead. Pull up my shirt. How's that? What? Better? Okay. Little. Like I said, I'll swallow it if I have to. Now, it seriously is a problem. I could be happier screaming for me, but I found out that if the vocal cords, especially the covering to them, are beginning to sag. Thank you. Is that okay, Linda? Okay. Well, I just got a little feedback. Okay. Okay. Now, the pattern was acceptable to God in the first century, and since he warns us not to change it, these are various passages here, not to go beyond. not to go beyond the things that are written, not to preach another gospel. If you go beyond the teachings of Christ, you don't have God or Christ. Okay? So we strive to promote only which we know will please Him. Does that sound logical? It's also scriptural. Okay, because that's what walking in the light is. Ephesians 5, 8, and 10, Romans 12, is learning what's pleasing to the Lord. Okay. Bible studies. Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, there are Bible studies offered for all ages, especially adults. The focus is strictly on God's Word and not on any secular events. I'll put that in there because we've been through material. We had to get rid of parts of it that are furnished because... they get into Easter and Christmas and things like that. There are things that are not mentioned in the Scriptures. And so we try to shy away from that particular things. Scientific and common sense rules are applied to interpretation of the Scriptures. There is a science called hermeneutics, and this is what you apply in order to understand the Scriptures. Most of the rules are God-given to begin with. The others are just common sense. And the stress is on the application of biblical principles. Adult classes usually consist of context studies of the various books of the Bible. If you haven't been here for a while, come back tonight. We're going through a contextual study of the book of Ecclesiastes. We just went through one on 2 Peter. And after we go through some of these pamphlets and a few topical things, the plan is to get into another contextual study of the book of Titus. Adult classes usually consist of context studies of various books of the Bible or topical studies relating to scriptural themes like personal growth or ethical moral applications. Family studies. The church also offers personal studies in building up the family through specific courses dealing with such topics as, and there's a reason for these titles, although they're going to change. We try using the Family Life series. And one of the problems is it's got a good format and there's some good things in them and practical applications and things, but some of the scriptural stuff was not correct, and especially the way they wanted to bring in the Holy Spirit. So we're changing those, we're beefing up, making the scriptural input less anemic. And giving us more applications, so there'll be books like this that we'll be putting out so that you can have these various topics, and they're going to change a little bit, but primarily the subject of the same: improving communication among spouses and family, increasing your spouse's self-esteem, working as a team, managing your money, resolving conflict, growing together in Christ, managing pressure. Like this one, managing your money, the theme is now stewardship and finances. We're calling it the Christian Family Foundation Series. Okay, so this is like one of the things I'm working on, trying to get out for you. But this is, we can fall back on the other studies too before we get it done. So you can sit down with someone, or you can have what they call cottage classes. Get some of the members in, invite some of the neighbors. That's been done. So there's all sorts of things you can do in order to increase your own knowledge of things, help your own family life, church life, and bring your neighbors into it. Home studies at a mutually convenient time the church offers. Mutually convenient, I mean, you've got the time to do it also. So make it a negotiation thing, when you get with people. So it's convenient for both. The church offers several courses that can be taught in your own home or in one of the members' homes, depending on where you want to go, or at the church building. These are the process of salvation, foundations of Christian living, understanding God's Word. These are some of those courses we told you about. Evidences for the Bible being God's Word, how the Bible has been preserved, profiling the image of Christ, or you just cover questions that you may have. This is important, too, because we find out that a lot of times people just got a lot of questions. And you've got to get their questions answered first before they really want to get seriously into any kind of study. So we're willing to do that. And if you're saying, I can't field questions, okay, well, that's fine. We've got a lot of people here that can. So we were talking a little bit in class about what level do you want to operate? Any level. Any level you want to operate at. Okay. In fact, you can be as simple as Nathaniel going and getting his brother and bringing him to Christ. Okay, special studies. Once one has met foundational requirements, more advanced courses are available. These may include New Testament Greek classes. I'm also working on a Hebrews class. So we can take you through a whole, you know, first and second year Hebrews and Greek class if you want. I'm also putting together one that's just Greek tools, which would also be Hebrew tools. Once you get it down, about the only memory work you have is the alphabets, and then you can use the tools and almost immediately get into doing good research. Oh, there's a few other things there besides that. Spreading God's Word, if you want to know how to do that, there's a course on that, and other religion studies and special topics. The websites, which we already looked at, this is on there, so they can go and visit the websites and see what we're all about. Again, so you don't have to tell them anything. Just go visit the website. It can be that easy, and answer any questions they have. So there's the church website. IWV stands for Indian Wells Valley Church of Christ. We hope to change the name so it's a little bit more expansive, inclusive of the areas we're covering. Okay. Because we call ourselves the Inyokern Church of Christ, we did that because Ridgecrest was already taken. But people think we're actually in Inyokern, and we're not. We're just at the outskirts of what we considered Ridgecrest. Right? Okay, what else is on here? Who we are simply Christians, followers of Christ, lovers of God's Word, as found exclusively in the Bible. We are your neighbors, your fellow workers, your fellow students. We try to do the right thing, hold ourselves to the highest possible moral standards. That's what we're trying to do. Yeah. We may not, you know, we're not perfect. We don't claim to be, but at least we're trying. And that's the difference. Okay. We are not religious extremists, but simply people who realize that God must be put first in life. It is to be fully lived and enjoyed. We are part of the mainstream churches of Christ that have been an integral part of the history of this country. Okay, there's a lot of cults out there claiming to be the Church of Christ. We are not them. We go back almost to the beginning of this country. In fact, at one point, the Church of Christ was the fourth largest religion in the United States. And the evangelists involved did such an extensive work. I remember this, there was one state that was almost totally converted to the Church of Christ. Then you get directions, map, whatever, and that ends that. Okay, welcome, okay, and we're done with that little logo. Okay, now we've got a little less than 20 minutes with another handout. Okay, so follow with me through this very quickly. Historical introduction. While the gospel was being preached in the first century, it contained within it warnings about an apostasy. So you can talk about why are there so many churches? Well, we had a heads up of that even at the very beginning. Paul was telling the churches, Peter was telling the churches, there's going to be a time when people will fall away. They'll just gather for themselves teachers that will tickle their ears. Tell them what they want to hear. Okay? What we're trying to do is tell you what God wants you to hear. You may not like it, but we're trying to give you just the truth. When men would pay attention to these deceitful spirits, doctrines of demons, false prophets, hold to forms of godliness while denying the power in the truth. 400 years ago, men began to turn back to the Bible for their authority, and realizing God's word does not pass away, they became aware God never intended men to add to it or take from it. What God gave, he says, don't touch. Okay? It's warnings all the way through the Old and New Testament. They tried to reform the various corrupt states. This was the Reformation movement. They tried to reform the various corrupt states of the church, but when that failed, they knew the only real solution was to start over with the New Testament and their only God as their only God. Thus, men from many different faiths began to come back to the one true faith in church founding God's Word. New Testament traditions. The Church of Christ has become the leading example in the effort to establish the church that Jesus came to build. It wears his name that is scripturally based, Romans 16:16. It is organized only with the offices of elders and deacons as prescribed by God with their qualifications, with Christ alone being the true head. Okay, it's not the Pope. You know, this is what we're telling people. In fact, what we're doing is people, you know, we're doing the least intrusive way of getting the Bible out to people. You know, we're just hanging it on the door. And what we're hanging on the door is an introduction to the church, okay, and what amounts to we're hanging sermons on their door. And then it's up to them whether they can throw it away or they can read it. If they got questions, they can call us. The church has no creed, catechism, or manifesto other than the Bible. Even as you're looking at these little handouts, if it comes to what this says, what the Bible says, throw this in the trash can and pick up your Bible and stay with it. In this way, the Church of Christ is the oldest established Christian faith, for it traces its beginning all the way back to the first century, with its foundation being the original apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. I'll throw this away because someone wants to say the Catholic Church is the oldest church. That's why they go to it. It's not the oldest church. The Church of Christ from the first century predates it by about 300 years. And so it's not a good argument. It therefore does not presume to wisdom greater than God's, and in this is true unity. We all want to speak the same thing, be of the same mind. Just stay with God's word, not men's think-sos. God's plan for salvation, the Church of Christ understands that God, that the Bible plan for salvation is a process. In fact, we've got a whole pamphlet for that. This process must be followed in its entirety. Matthew 28, Jesus says to his disciples, he sends them out, you teach them to observe all that I've commanded you. Don't pick and choose. If you're going to be a disciple, they need to do all. To prevent falling away and to achieve salvation. 5 points. The Bible teaches that one cannot come to God unless he believes and diligently seeks him. Okay? Hebrews 11:6. And that's through the Scriptures. That's what we're called by, through the Gospel. God has commanded that all, point two, need to change from sinful living. Three, those who seek salvation must confess Jesus as their Lord. 4, immersion in water is also imperative. That's why it's in the imperative mode in the Greek, or it's a command to have one's sins washed away to begin a new life in Christ. And 5, there must also be a continual walk in the light of the Gospel. 1 John 1:7, and growth to spiritual maturity, something we just looked at in 2 Peter. The importance of the church, there's a whole other brochure on this, but many feel that the church is not important, that they have no need of it. They feel that they can serve God on their own with Christ as their personal Savior. That's in quotation marks because you're not going to find the term personal Savior in the Scriptures. Rather, in Ephesians 4, it says, or Ephesians 5, it says he's the Savior of the body. This is why the church is important. You have to be in it. It's what Christ is taking up to heaven. This, however, is not God's plan for worship and salvation, this personal stuff. Christ came for the specific purpose of establishing his church. The manifold wisdom of God is to be made known through it. What we're doing is centering it. A lot of times men have to add all sorts of other extraneous organizations to it. Okay. The church can be everything God wants it to be in order to accomplish what he wants done. Too often we kind of farm it out to somebody else. This is why it's important for all of us to be as much involved in the evangelism, in growing personally, in teaching, whatever. And this is what they did in the first century. When the persecution hit the church in Jerusalem, it says they all scattered and took the gospel with them. They were able to do that. Now, you may have a talent for certain things, different from somebody else, but the skill is something anybody can learn. And if you want to argue that, I'm prepared to do that. I did not come out of the womb as a preacher. In fact, far from it. Okay. If I'm able to get up in front of somebody and talk, it's because I went through a lot of hard, first of all, a lot of chemical analysis, doctors taking care of my throat, but also I had just bad speech problems. I had to work through those. I've still got them. Still have a tendency, they come up again and they haunt me. Okay. You're not born in this world learning the gospel or how to study the Bible. Those are all skills you can develop and help grow. And God expects you to start using them. Right? Okay. God will only save those only part of the church. The church is what Christ died for. That makes it important. I mean, how important was it to God? He sent His Son down to die for it. That's its importance. In Hebrews 10, we are told not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, because the purpose of the church is to stimulate one another to love and good deeds and encourage one another as we see judgment drawing near. What we do in assembly, the worship service is according to Scripture, and it's orderly, should be. Sometimes we have a tendency in our enthusiasm to visit with one another. We need to get settled down. It is a solemn assembly and devoted to worship to God. Okay? And Ken quoted this, Acts 2:42. Structure is taken primarily from Acts 2. They continually devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. And then song service and the privilege of contributing are added from examples in the apostles' letters. Sermons, the preaching and the teaching is designed to instruct, to edify, that is, build up spiritually, and to encourage people in a righteous and godly behavior. We're trying to become different people. We're trying to become a Christ-like. And this should be the focus of the church, to instruct people, to build them up, and to help them worship properly. Primarily, it is contextual study of the Scriptures with various topical items as needed, a little overlapping information here with the other tracts. The Lord's Supper, like the church during the time of the New Testament, the Church of Christ takes part in the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. Okay, you can go to some of the writings of the Church Fathers, Polycarp, whatever, and they attest to this. The church took the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. Okay? This tradition is also found in external writings. Okay? Prayer, the congregation is led in prayer by those men displaying righteous and holy behavior. The prayer consists in praise and thankfulness to God with petitions for our needs and needs of others. Singing, the entire assembly joins in the singing so that none are denied the command and privilege to sing. Since there is no evidence in the New Testament for musical instruments, historically they were not used for over 700 years by any faith. In fact, the introduction of musical instruments in most of what people consider the other churches out there, every time they try to introduce musical instruments, the heads of those churches basically railed against it. Okay? It was hard fought to get musical instruments into any congregation or any assembly of any church. People understood, you know, it was the wrong thing to do. But it's been accepted now. We do not accept it. The command is to make the melody in the heart, Ephesians 5:19. So the church sings a cappello, a term that means according to the chapel, because even the Catholic Church used to sing, you know, just used to sing the songs without musical accompaniment. The collection is taken up every first day of the week, 1 Corinthians 16, for the purpose of seeing to the church's needs. It is for the members and is not a solicitation of the visitors. And because you're here as a visitor, you don't have to put any money in the contribution. If you'd like to, that's fine, but you know, we're not asking for it. Okay. Also, it's to be done cheerfully, and as one has prospered. If you didn't prosper, you're not obligated to put anything in. Okay. Just Paul says, if the desire is there, that's good enough for God. Okay. And compulsory tithing is not recognized in the New Testament. There's a lot of churches that say you have to give a tenth, not according to God. Again, who we are, went through that. Again, all this section, the maps, the welcome. Okay, and we're done. About the singing number 343. Is right, okay. It's titled "Let Him Have His Way with Thee." Mentioned, I think 2 weeks ago, that it seemed like all of life is a parable for us. A lot of what we need to know, we're given patterns and examples for it around us. You can see this in currents. Generally, people like to go with the current. If you're navigating a river, it's a lot faster just to get out in the middle and go with the flow. Okay. Out in the ocean, the sailing vessels used to look for strong currents in the ocean to make the transatlantic crossings, or were looking for favorable wind currents. They realized if they used these powerful things, that things went faster, they could get where they were going in better time, and there's profit to be made in it. Even as we look at the birds and realize what they use is updrafts and air currents that are up there. If you're in a glider, you can soar to heights on the currents. The strongest current in life is the current that God is taking all of life in the direction He wants it to go. In Colossians, the first chapter, it says that all things, referring to Christ, all things were made by Him and for Him. You want to know the ultimate reason why you're here? You're here for Him. You're His creation. And all of life is part of His plan for you, for Him. So when we talk about letting Him have His way with you, just plug yourself into the current of history. Okay? Your purpose will go a lot smoother. You'll get there faster. You'll be more uplifted. And you'll find favor in God's sight. Okay? This is the invitation. Okay? If you try working against God in this life, it's going to be a miserable existence. If you work with God and let Him guide you, follow Him, then life will be sweet and good and strong and lovely and rewarding, fruitful, and you'll get it in eternal qualities, the life to come. With that in mind, if there's any way we can do, anything we can do to help you enter into God's grace, into His service, whether it's classes if you haven't become a Christian yet, or if it's right now the baptism, baptistry is prepared for anyone who wants their sins washed away to begin a new life, or if you'd like more classes or prayers for the congregation on your behalf, let your request be made known now as we stand to sing.